Hello, brilliant entrepreneur. It's Tash Corbin here, and welcome to this episode of the Heart Centered Business Podcast. This is episode number 357, which means you can find all the relevant links and show notes for today's episode over at tashcorbin.com/357. On this episode of the podcast, I invited my fabulous friend and amazing keynote speaker, Amanda Hill, to jump onto the podcast and share with us a little bit about her journey as someone who was born blind, but also about her journey into becoming a keynote speaker and some of the key themes that she teaches on, including courage and resilience. So just a quick reminder, come and check out Amanda's links in the show notes of today's episode at tashcorbin.com/357. Let's hand it over for this epic spotlight interview. I'm Tash Corbin, and this is the Heart Centered Business Podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another special spotlight episode of the Heart Centered Business Podcast. Today, I'm joined by the fabulous Amanda Hill. Amanda is a resilience expert with an extraordinary life story. She survived being born 14 weeks premature in the 70s when such tiny babies were not deemed viable. She was so small, her father could hold her in his hand. The oxygen that kept her alive at birth damaged her eyes, leaving her totally blind. And despite this, Amanda has continued to surprise people with her professional and personal achievements. After graduating with honours in law from the Australian National University, she embarked on a 17-year legal career. And in her spare time, she climbed to an altitude of 10,000 feet in Nepal and conquered her phobia of getting lost to travel independently, both within Australia and overseas. In her keynote talks, Amanda shares her 5 keys to increasing resilience by building courage. And when she's not speaking, she's a podcaster and the author of multiple books, the latest being Seeing by Vision, Not by Sight. Welcome to the Heart Centered Business Podcast, Amanda.
Well, thank you so much. It's an honor to be here after following you for all these years.
No worries at all, Amanda. And I was just saying before we started recording, I have been following you as well, and it's been so wonderful to see your journey into keynote speaking in particular. That has been so lovely to see you sharing some of those different experiences and the spaces where you've been invited to speak, and it's just been wonderful to follow along with your journey. So why don't we start today with, do you want to tell us a little bit about how your business has evolved into being keynote focused, and you being seen on stage more and more and listened to on stage more and more?
Sure. Well, as said in my bio, I had a 17-year legal career, and then I was suddenly made redundant in 2014. And that was devastating because, you know, as there was a job freeze on at the time, and as a blind person, you know, I couldn't very well go out, you know, delivering pizzas or be a checkout chick or anything like that. So I was kind of a bit stuck. So I started selling Arbonne skincare.
Oh, wow.
Beautiful. Yeah, beautiful product. You know, it's, and used it for years. but then, you know, I, being the stubborn person I am, I didn't want to do it their way. I wanted to do it my way. And so I didn't do very well in the skincare industry. And then when I had a very serious knee injury in 2015, and spent 10 weeks basically sitting on my parents' couch, soul searching and praying. And then I decided it was time to quit the skincare or the network marketing industry. And I think that's kind of when I came across you, because I was offered the opportunity to retrain as a John C. Maxwell speaker trainer and coach. And I'd read a lot of his books, and I'm a huge fan of his, and have had the privilege of being in the same room with him a number of times and actually meeting him. And so I retrained and thought I'd be a coach. Right. Yes, I'll be a coach. Even though I'm a committed Christian and, you know, listen, I'm a woman of faith, listen to God. He'd said to me, speak. Mm-hmm. And I went, oh, yeah. That would be easy, but I think I'll be a coach because I'll earn more money. Bad mistake. If God tells you to do something, don't say no. But I did get a couple of clients by his grace. And then I eventually, in 2019, I went to a Christian Women in Business conference. Hi, Kelly, if you're listening. And I went to that conference, and God said to me in an almost audible voice, "Speak like I told you to and stop messing around." I told you. And I went, "Ooh, okay." That was 2020, sorry. And then COVID hit. Big gigs booked, COVID hit. I was like, "Oh, what do I do?" So I wrote a book. Wrote my second book. So I've just been working with various coaches and building my keynote, building my presence, building my confidence. So.
Fabulous. And so, have there been any particular challenges or barriers that you've faced in trying to build this particular career and move into this model of business?
I think the main barrier has been myself. Thinking, will people really listen to what I have to say? Is what I have to say really of value? And it's a few times now people have come up to me and expressed their that value to me, which is great. Recently, I just had the pleasure of speaking to a group of young people, and yeah, that was really amazing. These people who were kind of traumatized and silent, started talking to me. I mean, the presence of Sadie, my guide dog, did help. That was a bit of an icebreaker, but yeah, that was kind of life-changing for all of us, I think. Yeah, I've had people come up to me and going, "Oh, I had this goal set for ages and I haven't done anything. I'm going to go off and do it now," and which is really, really encouraging.
That's beautiful. And you are known for speaking about resilience and speaking about courage. So, I'd love to hear from you. What are some of the key messages that you share with people when you are speaking on stage?
Sure. Well, it's basically just telling stories from my life and the lives of others about how we've overcome courage and overcome resilience and uncertainty by building courage. And over the 52 years of 52, 53, 53 years of being a blind person, I've just turned 53. So, I've overcome many challenges, and so developed this 5-step methodology, which spells out the word focus. So it's fix your eyes on the prize, not the problem. Optimize your goals for outstanding outcomes. Connect with your conviction for greater consistency. Upgrade your courage for unbelievable results. And finally, see your success by putting your courage into action.
Gorgeous. I love that so much. And I'm sure that all the different crowds that you speak in front of find ways to apply what it is that you're speaking about to their particular situations. It doesn't matter whether they're young people who are wanting to embark on a particular career journey or people like us who are business owners who experience that same sense of, well, who will listen to me and how am I going to be successful? I think it's something that it's a universal human experience to experience that sense of hardship and that need for resilience and that need for courage. And so it's a really powerful message to be spreading and to be sharing with people. I'd love to hear from you, like, what is the most surprising thing that's happened for you since moving into keynote speaking and motivational speaking?
Gosh, the most surprising thing.
Yeah, what's been unexpected for you, or something that surprised you about this kind of work?
The people who've just come across my path and gone, will you speak to us? And just like I've tried the traditional sales method of approaching conference organizers and going, "Oh, just want to throw my hat in the ring for the next conference that you're having," and all that kind of stuff. And that's always come up cold. But it's the people who've just rung me and gone, "Oh, a friend of mine was telling me about you. Would you come and speak at our organization?" Or the greatest honor I've had so far, believe it or not, is speaking at my own church. And I mean, if you're a Bible reader, you'd know that, Jesus couldn't heal people in his own town. So speaking at my own church was like a huge deal for me. In fact, when I got up there, it just hit me, and it's like, oh my gosh, if I think about this too hard, I think I might cry. So he's like, no, don't do that. And, when there were people crying at the end, it's like, wow, I didn't know it was that good. So that was just the people who come across my path is I think continues to be the big surprise.
Yeah, I love that. And something that I get a bit passionate and ranty about, you've probably heard me talk about this on the podcast before, is that I find people who, but even just women on International Women's Day, or people from diverse backgrounds, or people with disabilities, tend to be the people who are most asked to speak for free. So is that something that's come up for you, and how have you handled that along the way as well?
Well, it has, and I have done some free things. The group I did for the talk I did for the group of young people the other day, that was for free because they have a special place in my heart, because it's a program where they help high school students who can't or won't for whatever reason go to school. And I was bullied at school, and as I said to them when I left, guys, hang on to this program with both hands and get out everything you can, because I didn't have that. And I just had to cope and go to school when I was being bullied. And, there was nowhere I could go, and not going to school wasn't an option. I suppose it would have been, but I wouldn't have known what to do with myself. But I think my favorite phrase, which I was taught by one of my speaker coaches, was when people ask me what I charge, I say, well, what fee would make this decision easy for you? So, yeah.
And being in those growth stages of stepping into this as a career path as well, it can be a challenge to determine what is worth your time and energy and taking up versus, where are people potentially taking advantage as well. I had a recent podcast episode with Natasha Bamblett. She's an Aboriginal woman, and she talked about sometimes you just have to take the opportunity and know that it's going to create a snowball somewhere else versus feeling like everyone just wants you to come and be their token person speaking for free and rolling you out to show, oh, look, we do diversity, and but they're not actually willing to invest in it. So it's a really tricky line to cross, isn't
It is, and I'm finding myself wavering
it?
from side to side on that line.
Well, anyone listening to this, Tash says we need to pay our speakers more effectively. So no wavering if they say they heard you on my podcast, okay, Amanda?
You.
You are such a brilliant speaker, and I absolutely love it. Now, I really wanted to also ask you about your books because, as you said, when COVID happened, your speaking opportunities dried up, and that became more of a challenge. So, let everyone know about your books and how some of those concepts came to be as well.
Well, the first book isn't really in print anymore. I call that my baby book.
Yes,
That
I
was
have
the
one of
one I
those.
wrote. That's the one I wrote in 2018, but it's the and how that came about was when I was working with another coach about what I should do, and I thought, oh, I want to be a coach and I want to be a career coach, and she said, no, you're putting yourself in a box. And so we worked and we prayed and we, did different various things, and realized that I wanted to help people discover their life's purpose. And so I wrote my baby book, which is like a little 83-page paperback book. And then in 2020, when the speaking opportunities dried up, I'd coached a few clients through the process, and which is another 3-step process: examine your past, examine your present, and examine your passions and dreams. And that was kind of reverse engineered from the 4-year journey that I'd been through since redundancy. And So to discover that my life's purpose is actually to encourage others. And so I wrote the baby book. And then in 2020, when speaking dried up, and I thought, oh, I might write a book about courage. And I bumped into a book coach. She went, oh, no, don't do that. Rewrite your first book and make it bigger and better. So now it's a 250-page hardback with a slightly different title, and it's got, the journeys of the people that I coach through the process. It's got beautiful quotes and testimonials from people like you. Yeah, so it's bigger and better.
Yes,
Well, I've technically
absolutely.
written two books. I only really have one.
There's the baby version, and then it grew up into the bigger
Indeed.
version, which is so
Indeed.
gorgeous.
Yeah.
And with writing that book, what were some of the lessons or some of the challenges that came up for you there?
Surprisingly, even though I talked about some of the stuff in the baby book, surprisingly, it was drawing from my own life lessons and my own life experiences. Like I was talking about how I had a best friend in primary school. And then when we went to, she was my friend to the exclusion of all others. And with those of you with kids, don't let them do that. It's very, very hard. And when it doesn't work out and you find out your best friend's going to a different school in a different state when you go to high school. And so I didn't know how to make friends. And so high school was like extraordinarily lonely and hard for me. And so I was crying. I just started to cry when I wrote this thing. And it's like, wow, I thought I'd been through this. I thought I'd. So it was like a lot of things that I had to sort of rehash and go over and re-forgive and process. Yeah, when I found out that thought I wanted to be a physiotherapist, when I left school and went to London and to the North London School of Physiotherapy, and then 18 weeks in, they said, "Oh, look, you can't be a physio because even though we're a school specially designed to teach blind people, your orientation and mobility skills aren't good enough to be physio and travel to different hospitals and blah blah blah." And crazy because most physios, blind physios, go into private practice anyway. So you'll have to come back to Australia. And oh, the anger that came up. It's just so the emotions. And because it was a longer book, I thought I can't just gloss over these things. I've got to dig deeper in. And oh, it was almost like pulling teeth, getting this stuff out, this struggle to get this stuff out. That was the most surprising thing.
I find that as well, even just because I'm an extrovert, so I process most things by talking. So it's often when I'm doing a Facebook Live or a video that a random story from my childhood would just pop out as an example. And it's fascinating the impact some of these minor little things or these big events have had on us and how much they spring to mind when we're experiencing something seemingly unrelated or only slightly related as an adult or further on down the track. And it just goes to show how much our formative experiences really do inform the way that we show up later on in life. And I know that was one of the big themes that I really enjoyed about your book was seeing it's almost like you were pulling on these little golden threads of experience. And what you do now makes such perfect sense because of the experiences that you had, not just growing up for you, but also in your early experiences in study and in your employment in working as well. If anyone is listening to this, I highly recommend that you do grab Amanda's book. It is absolutely beautiful and so inspiring and enlightening, but it also brought up for me a lot of, oh, look at that. You've got it right there. Seeing by vision, not by sight. I do recommend that you grab Amanda's book, and we'll make sure that we link in the show notes to Amanda's book and her website as well. Now, the last thing I want to ask Amanda before we close up today's interview is if people were wanting to hire you as a keynote speaker, what are some of the things that you are happy to speak about? What is it that you bring to the stage?
Well, I basically help people overcome uncertainty and build resilience by building their courage. And it's the five-step process that I talk about. I can talk about the whole five steps, or I can expand on any of those steps. So if someone, you know, wants to, if they wants to help their team, you know, with goal setting or with you know, connecting with their conviction or with any of those five steps, I can expand on one or two or three of those, or all of them really, to do that. And really my job as a keynote speaker is I'm not a teacher. My job as a keynote speaker is to help people feel something, help them laugh, help them cry, help them get motivated to do whatever it is that they need to do. So if you think any or all of the elements of my focus methodology would help your business or your team or your organization, yeah, please do reach out.
Gorgeous, gorgeous. And Amanda, I know we talked about how you travel and you've overcome that fear of getting lost and all those sorts of things. Do you speak overseas at the moment or mostly focused in Australia?
I have done a couple of virtuals to people in India.
Nice.
That very happy to travel overseas. I have obviously I need my expenses covered. But, I would very happy to travel, you know, anywhere. I tell one of the stories that I tell in my keynote, my CEO success by putting your courage into action is where I needed to travel to Vegas to go to an Arbon global training conference because I thought, surely I can find a way to make people buy more stuff from me.
Yeah.
Of course, as we all know, is not the point of it all. Solve their problems. But anyway, went over there and learned a whole heap of stuff that I wasn't expecting to learn about gratitude and about courage and about asking for help when you need it, being clear in your communication. So now I know, because no one was going over and coming back at the times that I needed to, because they were all taking their families and making extended holiday. So I basically had to travel to and from on my own.
Wow.
And so I traveled over on my own. And then on the way back, I ended up sitting with two of my Arbon heroes at the time, which was amazing. So,
it was great. That is so wonderful. Yes. And I absolutely love your storytelling, by the way. So I'll just add that little thing in there as well. Amanda tells a great story about some of the experiences she's had. And I think also that even just understanding the additional accommodations that you need to make or the tools that you use or the way that you navigate different experiences, it is just so astounding. And one of the things, I think I said this to you on a call in my program a long time ago, and I said, whenever I feel like, no, I can't do that because I can't work out how to make this technology work, or I can't, oh, this is too hard, I think about the way that you navigate what you're doing on social media and those sorts of things, because, you know, it is just a fascinating and brilliant for me to understand just like your determination and your resilience to figure this out and find a way to make this work for you. It's just absolutely inspiring. So I love hearing all of your stories, and I love hearing some of the ways that you navigate some of the challenges that you face as well. So thank you so much for sharing all of those.
Oh, thank you. I think part of that is sheer stubbornness. I will not let this beat me.
I enjoy that about you, actually. I enjoy that good dose of stubbornness that you've got, and it's absolutely beautiful. So, Amanda, something that I ask everyone at the end of Spotlight episodes is, if I was to quote you on something, what is it that you would like me to say?
Well, the way I end all my keynote talks and all my presentations and all my podcast episodes is I always say, if you're facing a challenge that seems a little bit too overwhelming, a little bit too big, you've got this. I know you've got this. Just reach down and grab the courage that I know is inside you, and you'll be just fine.
Oh, my goodness. That is so beautiful. So poetic. Well done. And as I said, we'll have links over if you're interested in hiring Amanda as a keynote speaker. We'll have also a link to her book if you want to go and check all of that out with the show note episodes of this episode of the Heart Center Business Podcast. So thank you everyone for listening along. Thank you, Amanda, for being such a brilliant guest. And until next time, everyone, we cannot wait to see you shine. Bye for now. Would you like more tips, tools, and resources to help you grow your heart-centered business? Head to tashcorbin.com today.